and thank you for tuning in to Faith Worship Center's weekly sermon. We hope you are inspired and encouraged by this week's message as we all live to bring more of heaven to earth.
I've been on a journey over the last 66 years. The Lord's really been doing some stuff in my life, especially in my prayer life, my prayer journey. He's had me on a really reflective, contemplative sort of journey in my prayer life, and I've really been thoroughly enjoying it, and at the same time, learning a lot, and I didn't realize what was really going on. I shared a little bit of this last week in the transition time. Didn't really realize what was going on until like a week and a half ago when the Lord showed me what he's been doing in this time. And so I'm going to share a little bit about that today, and I'm going to share a little bit about other things today, and I'm just going to share today, and we're going to have fun. And I feel like we're in such a good season with Jesus. It is such a good season to have our eyes fixed on him. Because there's so many other things we could fix our eyes on that will just get us all bummed out and discouraged and nearly depressed. Oh, well, there's only one other person feels that way. Wow. So the rest of you are keeping your eyes on Jesus, right? Yeah. Good. I'm going to start with this verse in Luke chapter 5. It's interesting. This note Evernote thing that I use to make my sermons, and over the years I've been using it for a long time, and this one says untitled as a title for the sermon. That should tell you where this one's going. And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand, touched him, said, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. As I was reading this passage a week ago, there were several things that struck out at me. One of the things that that immediately struck me is the word immediately. So immediately after the leper comes to Jesus, immediately Jesus, when Jesus touches him, his leprosy leaves. And I felt the Lord highlighted that to me, especially particularly in this season right now that we're in, because it's in a new season with the Lord. We go through different seasons in our lifetime, but this season in particular is a new season with him. And I feel like the immediacy of things are going to be accelerated, that we're going to be coming into the immediately. You know, God works, he works in suddenlies and immediatelys and in progressions. You know, there are things that take a progression. Thank you, Jonathan. And he works in those ways, but I feel like there's something immediately that's going to be transpiring when we call out on the Lord. There's going to be immediate miracles, immediate healings, immediate transitions, immediate reparations in relationships. Are you guys there? You okay there? You're waiting for me to say some deep, heavy, revy, aren't you? The other thing that highlighted to me in this is leprosy and what it is. You know, when we used to have a men's retreat over at Dick Sapler's in Buzzards Bay, right across the way, up until the early 1900s, there was a leper colony. I don't know how many of you knew that, but there was a hospital for lepers, and that's where they used to send people that had leprosy. Leprosy is a disease that eats away members of the body. So your fingers, if you had leprosy, your fingers would get eaten away. And I think what's so intriguing about this story is that the lepers were considered unclean in those days. There was no cure for the disease. And they had to identify themselves as being unclean. So they weren't allowed to go into the streets without saying that they were lepers and they were unclean, and they had to keep a distance. What do they call it? Distancing, social distancing. You know, that was the case of the lepers. And so this is an interesting story because this man, he's not doing that. He's not yelling, leper, unclean. He's running to Jesus. And he's saying, if you are willing. And what does Jesus do? Does he have to think about it? And you go, if I'm willing. Now, why is he saying that to me? And leprosy, in the day, in the time that this was taking place, leprosy was considered, if you had leprosy, you were considered that there was some sin that you committed and that you're being punished by God. That's pretty much what was taking place in this man. But he pressed into Jesus. He just went right to Jesus, falls down. If you're willing, you can heal me. Jesus didn't take any time at all. It stretched out his hand, and immediately the leprosy left him. And then he tells him, go and show yourself to the priest. Offer an offering to the priest, as is recorded in Moses' law. And show yourself to the priest as a testimony to them. And two things are taking place in that. Number one, they were required, if their leprosy did get healed, they were required to go to the priest, make an offering. And then they were, to show that they were healed, they were to get a pass, a clearance. Their name was cleared. So they no longer had to go through the towns and the streets yelling that they were unclean. All right. So the question is God's willingness, if you're willing. I think Jesus' response indicates, yes, he's willing. And I don't think there's any healing that anyone should be carrying around or anyone should be needing. There should be no sickness that anyone has that they're carrying around where they should be thinking they're being punished by God for some sin that they committed in their life. All right, so clear that up. God is willing. Jesus is perfect theology. If he said, I'm willing, be clean, and immediately the leprosy left, that's a good sign that he likes healing. The other thing is the answer was instantaneous. I'm going to ask, Christian, you do such a good job back there, but could you grab that heat thing there? This heater right here is blowing air conditioning on me. I'm sitting here shaking in my boots. If you just do me a favor, and you're amazing. I love these guys back here. These tech guys are incredible. Just turn it up to like 75 so it just turns the air conditioner off for me. Thanks. Oh, I'm sitting here just shaking like crazy. It's like, ooh. And it's not from excitement. So then the report that went around after the leper was healed. A report goes around and people are coming for miles to have Jesus touch them. We're in a very exciting time right now. I don't know how many of you are aware of how God is moving things into place behind the scenes. There's just some really exciting things that are happening. And this is not just a message to give you some sort of encouragement out of whatever despair you might be in. This is a message to say, we're going to come up, okay? We're coming up. I don't know what happened during COVID. I don't know. I mean, I know what happened. I was here. I lived through it and all that. But I don't know all that was going behind the scenes in the spirit during COVID. I still don't have a picture of all that was happening. But I did see the overall body of Christ largely affected by a sort of leprosy, if you will, where there were mindsets that were happening. There were people that were getting sick and dying all around us. There was things that were taking place. And I feel like a spiritual leprosy was attacking the body of Christ, taking out certain members and eliminated certain members. And we're past that now, but I still feel like there, and maybe I'm just speaking to myself personally, I still feel like that there's this stuff inside of me that still has this, as if I were asleep spiritually or whatever. And is it making any sense? It's like, I think for my own life, COVID affected me in a way that it kind of tried to shut some things down inside of me. And some of those things I pushed down because I didn't feel that they were relative. But on this prayer journey I've been on, the Lord has been taking me into areas of reflecting. So when I mentioned last week that he showed me these, told me these four words when I woke up, reflect and reset. Oh, help me remember these. I just had these. I did write them down. They're further down. Reflect, reset. I can't believe I had to look at these. Ignite and burn. Reflect, reset, ignite, and burn. And this is what the Lord showed me has been happening in my prayer life over the last year, year and a half. Is that I've been reflecting on God and his goodness. I've been purposely focusing on him. And I don't know. Can I be honest with you? Are you guys safe? How many are not safe? Raise your hand. I'll make sure I don't look over towards you. But I feel like in my life, there have been, clearly, we're all on our own personal journeys, clearly, I no question about that. But I feel like in my life, there were some personal things that were happening and going on in me that were trying to hit at the very core of who God made me to be and shut that down. And I feel like I had to press through this in my prayer time by reflecting on the goodness of God. And he started showing me some things. And now I've just been on this journey of reflecting and resetting. So it's like, this is how we reset ourselves, you guys. If we can't reset ourselves by looking at the goodness of God, I don't know what can. It's like, we are in a process where I believe the Lord is resetting this church. The immediacy of the leprosy leading, okay? How many of you, just as a question, how many of you had a time in your life where you... it was easier to pray for healing and see results. Anybody here? Than it has been lately. Is it anybody here? Okay. Now that's kind of like what was going on inside of me. It was easier at one time in my life than it was now. And so we started listening to Bill Johnson recently at Stirring Nights. And he's been talking about the power of the testimony is the spirit of prophecy and how the testimony helps us to remember times in our life that God was doing things. And those, stirring those memories up kind of starts resetting us into a place where we're in a better position with God. It was said of Smith Wigglesworth, when someone asked him, what do you do when you go into a meeting and you don't feel like God is really moving? This is what his response was. If God isn't moving, I'll move him to get him to move. And I think there's just something so powerful and profound in that statement. It's like if you feel like God isn't moving, then move him to get him to move because he is moving. And we're just possibly missing it. Bill Johnson said this, be so confident that God is going to move that even if he doesn't show up, you cause him to show up and be faithful to his covenant. Maintain such an awareness of God that you can stir up his presence. Boldness marked the first disciples. And people recognized they had been with Jesus. Boldness is not loud. It just means you don't stop. You don't pull back, and you don't withdraw from power. There's never been a display of boldness such as this, yet their prayer at the end of Acts 4 is to pray for more boldness in the midst of their enemies' threats. Then he goes on to talk about a rat in an airplane. How many of you ever heard this teaching? Anybody here? He spoke this when he was here many years ago. I've been going through some of my older notes, part of the reflecting. The pilot has oxygen. The rat doesn't. The rat's in the airplane. The pilot goes higher where there's no oxygen, so the rat will die. Go higher, go high with God, and you will kill a rat. There is a place on a mountain that you can go where snakes can't dwell and climb to that height. Take it to the next level. Bring it up. Never settle for the commonplace of non-power. Go for the power. Don't settle into where no power exists in your life. Get things to shake. I've been getting ultra sensitive in the reflection times and convicted, not to a point of shame or despair, but to a point of challenge, to remind myself of what God has done through me over the years. One of the reasons I've been going through a lot of my notes is a lot of my notes contain testimonies. I've written down several testimonies. I have some on my phone here that I periodically look at. But I think that in our life, the event of our life as it unfolds, we have so many activities that take place in our lives. And there's so many things, information that comes crowding in, that it's easy to crowd out the things that God has done significantly in our lives over time. And I really feel like the Holy Spirit is beginning to, this is happening to me, this has been going on for a year and a half, to reflect on these things that God has done in my life, to give me a sight that if he did this once, he can do this again. That if he's been in a place where he's moved on my life at any particular time in my life, he can move on my life again. And this reflection has been causing me to reset in a lot of ways. A lot of my thinking and a lot of my understanding is being reset to how much God really likes me. He likes me. I'm his favorite. I hate to tell you guys that. But he just really does love me. He really does. And he has shown me his love over time by favoring me at very different events in my life. Not just me. You know what I'm saying. You're his favorite too. It's okay because he's like omnipresent all the time and omni-knowing all the time. And he knows you're his favorite too. We're all his favorite. And he can do that. He doesn't just have one just favorite person. I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you so much for that. Well, I got a round of applause to finally get to that point. This church has seen God do so much inside of these four walls and outside of these four walls. We have a history with God that we cannot forget. My wife and I have been talking about this lately, that we'd really like to have somebody begin to record testimonies going forward, to where we almost have like a church historian who's writing down these things, because there have been so many things that have happened over the years that are just bizarre. And the busyness of life and the momentum of life and the going forward in life causes us to forget a lot of these things, even in your own lives, right? That God has done things in your life that you probably have forgotten, and it would be good for you to reflect and reset. Right? So I'm not the only one. And I feel like there's this need to do this. And even within this church, I was just this morning during worship, some things just, God just started stirring some things to my memory. And this is what's so powerful about this. You start reflecting on things that God has done, and he starts showing you more things, because that's what you're looking at. That's what you're focusing on. So he starts to reveal these things. And I've seen this unfold in my life, over the last year and a half, where I'm starting to recall things and starting to see things. And all of a sudden, I'll just be going through my day, and all of a sudden, I get another reflection. It just, boom. And I get to record that and know the reality behind that reflection and get to reset according to that reflection. We had a meeting here. We used to have Friday night renewal services. How many remember the Friday night renewal service? Some of you are still here that used to go to those. We'd spend 4 or 5 hours just in worship and praying over each other, ministering over each other. And we would have times when God would just show up. He'd just show up in the room. His presence was so evident. And people would be healed. People would be changed, set free. Drug addicts would no longer have addiction. Multiple relationships restored. Things were happening that were just so powerful. And one meeting in particular, I will never forget and get out of my mind. And there are several meetings, but one meeting in particular was when we were all here. It was around 11 o'clock at night. And I looked down at my hands. We'd been ministering over people. And I looked down at my hands, and I had all this gold glowing glitter on my hands. And I just looked at it. And I went over to show my wife. I went over to show Lynn. I said, look at my hands. Look at my hands. I didn't know if I had, some makeups have glitter in them and stuff like that. So I didn't know what was going on. But I was, the presence of God was so thick in the room. It's like, this is like an activity of God. Somehow I just knew it. And we had heard of gold dust on other people at that time too. She looks at my hands. She goes, wow. Because they were just covered. And then she looks at her hands and she's going, wow. And before long, all the people in that room gathered around. They all started checking out their hands. They had it on their faces, their arms. One guy freaked out. He was a young man. He freaked out so much he went in the bathroom to try to wash it off, because he thought for sure we put something in the air conditioner and it was blowing this gold dust around in the room. And also the room was thick, okay? I mean, it was like there was a haze. And he goes to the bathroom. Our bathroom's right over here at that time. It was right here. He goes to the bathroom, washes his hands. As soon as he reaches for the door on the handle, he's got the gold dust back on his hands. We had kids, little kids running around praying for each other. They've got glitter all over there. They're all getting excited. Everybody's laughing. Everyone's just going. And I'm thinking, that happened. That took place here. And like I said, I was just reminded of this morning, that gold dust experience. And that I've really never forgotten. As a matter of fact, I met on Randy Clark's trip, I met an author. And she had asked me what was going on in our church. And that had just happened at our church. I think it was around 2003 or somewhere in there. And she said, I'm going to write about this in my book. And she did. She wrote about it in her book. What was I going to say? Oh, gold in the tooth. And I've told this one before. We still have pictures on our computer of a lady that got a gold crown on her tooth. Her tooth was rotten out. She didn't have any money. She had to go to the dentist that following week to get it pulled. And God just fixed her tooth right in the meeting. Definitely wasn't the result of an air conditioner. You'd have to experience that meeting. Some of our folks are here that were at that meeting, but she was sitting right in the front row. We tried to find flashlights. We didn't have cell phones at that time that had those nice little lights on them. So here we've got some flashlights that we found somewhere in the church building. Here's this lady with her mouth wide open, and she's got five or six people gathered around her shining flashlights in her mouth to see the gold crown that God just gave her. Crazy meeting. These reflections are allowing me to reset to something, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He's also not limited to do the same things. He can do a lot of creative things, right? I think about some of the miracles. I think about some of the miracles that Jesus did. You know, the rubs mud in a blind man's eyes. Who does that? You know, could you imagine going to your doctor and he pulls out some clay, mud, and spits in it and then rubs it in your eyes? You'd have a lawsuit on your hand for sure, unless you really did get healed. And this is the kind of thing Jesus did. He proved that there was no one mode, one formula. It's just the hunger heart. It's the person with leprosy pressing in, going beyond the restrictions of culture and pressing in to get a hold of Jesus and have Jesus show up and immediately deal with his leprosy. And I feel like this is the day, this is the hour that the Spirit of God is dealing with leprosy in his church. That there are people, body members of the body of Christ that have the enemy has tried to take out with this leprosy. There's insignificance, offense. There's various different things that leprosy will try to do to eat at the members of the body of Christ. And it's like the Holy Spirit is going after those things and he's saying, deal with this, reflect on who I am, and reset yourself to who you are and who I say that you are. And church, it is time for us to go up to the altitudes to where the rat dies. It's time to get rid of the rats. Are there rats in here? No. It's a rat-free zone. No, but there are rats in the atmosphere. And it's time for us to go higher than the atmosphere. It's time for us to create an atmosphere where God is free to move, free to be who he is, and free to change our lives in the way he wants to. So the other testimony I just thought about when I was sharing this about the mud and the blind eyes. We had a young speaker used to come through here. Wonderful, wonderful guy. He used to come through and he shared an experience one time. He was in the prayer room. Someone straddled over him. And they said, the Lord told me, this is the person telling him, the Lord told me that you won't need to wear glasses anymore. God is going to heal your eyes, and he's going to use me to heal your eyes. And so the young speaker's laying on the floor looking up, laying on his back looking up and said, oh, okay. And he said, but I have to spit in your eyes. So he's laying there and he said, this is before he was a speaker. He was a student at a school. He's laying there and he says, okay. And the guy works up this big loogie. And he still needed glasses afterwards. So there. Oh, why did I just share that? I don't know. It's good. It's not about formulas. It's about following after the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit and knowing that he wants to work through us. that he's partnered with us. He wants to partner with you guys. This, you know, it's about the body of Christ. It's not about a one-man show. It's not about one person who carries the anointing to get everybody filled and saved and healed. It's about the body of Christ carrying the anointing and the Holy Spirit to get everybody filled and saved and healed. So I love, we have our ministry prayer meetings on Friday nights once a month, and we just had one Friday night, and we're sitting around and we're listening to the healing room testimonies that are taking place. That the healing room teams is just really just seeing so many healings and miracles taking place. I was just like, we've got to hear these testimonies. These testimonies are life-changing. They're super, super exciting testimonies. And we have people coming from around the area that don't even attend a church. They're coming here because they hear that God is healing. How many of you are even aware of that with our healing rooms? People, don't believe what the media is telling you, and don't believe what you read on the internet. Trust me, not everything on the internet is true. Just, you know, and it's getting tricky out there, isn't it? Like, you read your email and you're, oh, my account's overdue? Oh, gee, maybe I should check it out. Let me give you some advice. Don't click that email. Go to wherever that's saying that your account is and log on to their webpage. It's nice and secure, and you'll see you're not overdue with your bill. So this is really cool, you guys, because God is, he's teaching me this. He's teaching that if he did it once, he can do it again. It's Isaiah the prophet who said, rend the heavens and come down. Show us what you have shown us in the past. We want to see. So next week when you all show up, you better have some gold or don't even bother coming in here. But I'm excited because this is a great season, you guys. It's a great season for the church. It's a time for the church to rise and shine, for his light has come. Right? And I walked in last Sunday with Randall behind me in the cafe, and I looked over and I saw my dear friend Memphis, my dear friend Joyce, and Bonnie standing all together in the cafe. So thankful for their hearts and so thankful for their faith and their perseverance. Yeah. And I stood there and something inside of me just went, these guys are going to get healed. They're going to get touched. Do it again, Lord. So I had that experience last week. And I started reflecting on Monday. I sat and began to reflect Monday morning, early in the morning, as I was reflecting on the goodness of God. He just reminded me of my Brazil trip. And my Brazil trip was 2005, and I had a little, it wasn't an iPhone, it was they called them iRiver back then. How many of you remember that? For some of your times, on a little iRiver. It was like an MP3 player, and I held it in my hand, had a voice recorder on it, and I just started recording all these healings and miracles that were taking place through me at Randy Clark. And these healings were shocking. I shared one a couple weeks ago about the blind lady that couldn't see. Her eyes were open, and she could see. And I was more shocked than she was. And that's kind of like what was happening on this meeting. There were 90 people on the truck. We had two buses, and we'd go from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting and just minister over the sick. And I can remember, I'm going to be real quick with this because we do need to get into communion, but I can remember being on the bus and there were two other people. I could only come halfway in the trip. My visa was held up in the Brazilian consulate and I couldn't make it on the trip. So I could only come halfway. So I was there for a week. And there was two people that were there. They had been there the entire time. And for the very entire time until the very last meeting that we had, they had not seen one single healing through them. Two out of 90. Everybody else is sitting in the bus. We're after the meetings, we're calling out the testimonies that we had: blind eyes, deaf ears, lame were walking, tumors, cancer healed, various other things that would be called out on the bus. And these two people sat there for the entire 2 weeks without seeing a single healing take place through their laying on of hands. And the last night, there was a meeting that was scheduled it's kind of like a slum area of the city that we were staying in. And they had scheduled a speaker to come in, and the speaker was canceled at the last minute. And so they asked me Randy asked me, would you go to this church? We need a speaker there. Got a meeting scheduled and the speaker's been canceled. Would you go? And I said, sure. And then he gave me the two that had not seen a single healing. It's like, thanks. And so we go to this meeting, and we're driving there. It took a while, about a half an hour to get there through the city. And we get to this place, and as you understand, we're driving by shanty shacks. They're like made out of tin, cardboard boxes, tin. They're just whatever they could find to put together. That's the community that it was in. You guys are from Brazil, you know. And so we're driving through there, and we get to this church. And when we get to the church, there are people outside that are standing on boxes to look in through the windows because they can't get inside the church. The church is packed. And we get to this church, and the pastor's son comes running out to the taxi cab and says, there's no electricity. The electricity's off. The worship team can't play. There's no microphones. The place was packed. It's like, you know, four to 600 people. I don't know how many were there, but it was just packed out. There was all the seats were taken, standing room only. And so they said, okay, well, you guys are going to walk through the church, and there's a garden in the back area. You'll go there in the garden area. We'll try to see what's going on with the electricity. And when we walk in through the door, when the last person, there are only three of us on the team, myself and the two others. And when the third one walks through the door, the electricity comes on. It's like the lights just come on. The electricity's back. Everybody's clapping, cheering, going on. And we walked through the garden. As soon as the last one exited the door to the garden, the electricity went off. This is really bizarre, okay? I'm like going, that was strange. And we're out in the garden, and we're just praying together, and we're asking God to bless us. There was a little outhouse that was there that I had to use, and use that, and we came back out. And they said, okay, it's time to go. So we went in, and the orchestra had started. They had some brass and cymbal there, trumpet, trombone, and stuff like that. And they were starting the worship just with that. And as soon as we started walking into the building, the lights came back on. I don't know if you guys are getting the effect, but the effect was absolutely incredible. Because people are watching us come from the garden. That was in the front of the church. They're watching us come into the garden area, and suddenly the electricity comes on. They watch us come through the back door because we were the guests. They were waiting. We were on Randy Clark's team, and they knew we were coming. So we come in, the lights go on. We go out, the lights go off. We come back in, the lights go on. And it's like we're the supernatural electric company here, you know. And it's like the atmosphere was so charged. It was so supercharged with faith. So much faith in the room. And I was just getting so pumped up. I got to preach. I mean, I was so pumped. I can't even tell you how pumped up I was. And I just thought, this is going to be a really quick message because you didn't really have to speak. I didn't have to preach. That room was already supercharged. I preached for maybe 10 minutes. And I preached Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10, the Holy Spirit falling. And then I looked out and I see four to 600 people out there crowded into this room. It was stuffy. It was warm. It's an open air type building. And I'm standing there just going, how are the three of us going to pray over all of these people? We're going to be here all night long. So I just felt the Holy Spirit just said, ask, tell people that I'm here and I want to heal. Or is there anybody that needs healed? That was my word of knowledge. Anybody needs healed? And then it was like, and then ask if they can feel something happening in their body. And people started standing up all over the building. They were just, you see their arms going like this. They're jumping up and down. They're just getting so excited. They're getting so pumped up because God is healing them and touching their lives and changing their lives forever. And after that exciting time, which, by the way, that it was just without any music or anything, everybody's just spontaneously just shouting praises to God. And it was just amazing to see. And an elderly woman was sharing the testimony. I had people come up and start sharing the testimony. An elderly woman came up, and her hands, two nights before the meeting, her hands had been 95% healed. Her fingers had curled up, and she couldn't bend them together. She couldn't move them. And she's up sharing her testimony, and she's doing this with her hands because that night God finished the healing on her. She was 95%. Now she was 100%. And she's shouting into the microphone in Brazil. And I got to have an interpreter come over and translate what was taking place in her life. Another lady who had walked on her ankles her entire life, I saw her as she's up on the platform. She was excited. She was excited. I had no idea what she was shouting in that mic because it was Brazilian. But the translator, when I called the translator over, the translator said, look at her ankles. She's saying, look at her ankles. Her ankles were black on the outside of her ankles from where she had walked. Her feet faced each other, and she had to use these canes as she walked hobbled along on her ankles her entire life. And her ankles were black with calluses. And God had straightened her feet out, and she was standing up on the platform with both the canes in her arm, stomping her feet flat-footed on the platform, shouting praises unto God. And I turned around and just went, wow. You see, God is an impressionist. He wants to impress us. Maybe sometimes more than we actually want to be impressed. But he wants to impress us. He wants to impress you. He wants to impress me with who he is and his greatness. And I believe we're coming into that. Okay, I'm getting excited. I really am. I feel like this is so absolutely exciting. Reflect, reset, ignite. Listen, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. I think that's a song. It only takes a spark, something small, to turn into something really big. And we get to burn. We're the lucky ones. We get to burn for Jesus. Would you stand with me? We're going to ask the ushers to come up for communion, and I feel like this morning as I was in my reflection time and resetting time this morning, I felt like the Lord was highlighting some things for some healings this morning during communion. Yeah, you can start coming up. Go ahead and start coming up. I'm going to just share these as a means to just speak. As you receive these communion elements today, as we take this together, attach great faith to whatever condition you have in your heart and in your body. If you need a physical healing, just attach great faith to it. So, some of the words are problems with feet. You got some feet problems, eye problems. Like you need healing in your eyes. Tumors. Are there any tumors here? Ulcers. Blood diseases. And this one might be for online. It might be for here. I don't know. But babies in the womb reconstruction. We've had testimonies of that over the years of several babies that were reconstructed in the womb. They weren't supposed to have arms or legs, and God grew arms and legs on them. And this was right up into the eighth month of pregnancy. The ultrasounds were still showing no arms and legs. And God grew arms and legs on them. And those kids are perfectly healthy today and normal. We have a supernatural God, you guys. Let's go high together. Let's kill the rats that say we don't. I know that many of you have testimonies in your life of what God has done. Share them. Tell your story. Let others hear your story of what God has done in your life. Ignite the fire.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. If you'd like more information about our church, visit faithworship.org. Thank you.